Everybody, just pray with me. Just pray with me in other tongues. La brusco tella, come on, we're praying, church. Just pray with me. Haroske te lebe de babrioske de lebe. Handroske ta andich te lebe de bario. Lebroske ta la bandrioske de lebe de bario. Zebroske de la darabarke de lebe de miaske de lebe. Lebroske de la bandioske de lebe. La brusque de lebe de babrioske de lebe. Zakate ende. Zirie de soto. Now that is tongues, that is a heavenly language. And we are only 7 weeks old as a church. I've traveled around the world, but we're training our people up here. This is the language that is given to us when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. When I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit, this Bible and this word becomes open to me. Otherwise, I sit under dead word. And the Bible says that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. There are many churches that preach this word without the Holy Ghost. Are you guys with me? And it falls on dead ears, and the people actually become dead spiritually. But when this word is preached with revelation, with the Holy Spirit, there's something that jumps up inside of a person. They're saying, this feels like this is making sense. It's for me. It feels like God just spoke to me. It's because there's life that is coming by the word. It's revelation. This church, if you're not baptized with the Holy Spirit, like Marie said, we had every Saturday F1, F2, but we'll have it now the last 2 weeks of this month coming, F1 and F2. There we do deliverance, we do baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we take you through very good foundational stuff. Put me on the scripture on the screen, let us start. Genesis chapter number 29, verse number 15. Say with me the call of God, church. Every person is called, but few are chosen. Okay, so the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Every person sitting here, if you have breath in your lungs, it's because you have something to do on this planet. We are unhappy because we are not fulfilling our purpose. Some people are just out there doing the day-old thing, but they're not fulfilling their purpose. That's why I said I don't believe working under a small salary with sweat and toil, minimum wage, is God's blessing. It is not. Nowhere in the Bible is it God's blessing. Do you know God only had rich friends? Go read your Bible. I'm not going to go in there because we're going to have no people left. Abram was rich. Jake, which tells me, God, you're my friend. I have to become rich one day. My family has to be looked after. Even the poor guy that wanted to follow him, Jesus said, no. Go, don't tell anybody that you got healed. From Genesis to Revelation. That's in the Bible. Amen. Jesus got the rich saved so that they could come and fund and they could reach out to the poor. That was his strategy. He went to the inner city. One of his finances of his ministry was the wife of the ambassador of Herod was serving secretly on Jesus' ministry and financing him. We sit with the poorest of the poor and we sit with the richest of the rich. You know, and I do. I sit with the poorest of the poor and I'll sit with the rich of the rich. I love the poor and I love the rich. But for the kingdom of God to be advanced, we need finances. And that's why God reaches out to the rich. I just wanted to throw that out because it's freaking some people's theology out. They're going to read the Bible and try to bring a poor person to me now that was God's friend. No, there wasn't. Every person was loaded. Job was loaded. Abram was loaded. Moses was loaded. Job was so rich. And then he even got richer. Matthew was a tax collector. Those guys were coining it. You guys want to know what I'm saying? I mean, Jesus' friends was... I mean, it's just Peter was loaded. He had a massive business, but he gave it up. So when they came to the lame man, and the lame man said, I want silver and gold. And they said, and Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. But John didn't answer. John had silver and gold. Just Peter didn't have silver and gold because he already sold his business. Okay, Elisha was rich. He had a whole field of oxen working together. Peter had a fleet of ships working together. The Bible says that the apostles had so much money that they took all the offerings and stuff and they divided and they just gave it freely to the whole church and everybody could buy property. That's New Testament for you. That's when there's revival. When revival comes, listen to me. When the heavens open up in this place, when the revival comes, you better know that you're going to be blessed financially in every area of your life. So don't sit here and look at me like you don't want it. Don't sit here and look at me like you don't need it. You need it for your children. You need it for your children's children. You need it for a legacy to be left behind, and you need it for glory to be given to God. Laban, in the Bible, he had his own business running. And Laban said unto Jacob, say the call of God. And Laban said unto Jacob, because you are my brother, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what? What should your wages be? Go for the next verse. Now Laban had two daughters. Name of the elder was, say with me, Leah. And the other one was Rachel. Now, go to the next verse. Leah's eyes was delicate. Don't worry about a woman's eyes, because this woman was actually not very beautiful, okay? She was only delicate. But Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now, I'm going to speak to you about the call of God. Just give me 10 minutes. I want to give you a secret through. I said to God, I'm just going to preach this morning a little bit, preach. But we have a call that we enter into. I spoke last week about the process that we begin, where God begins to take us through a process. It's tough, it's hard, it's difficult. My process was 14 years. It's everybody betrays you. You get betrayed even on live television. You get betrayed by your closest friends. You get taken for everything. And you still serve God passionately. It's a process. But inside, God builds character and integrity until that day when you're ready to receive and go into your destiny. Are you guys with me? So Leah is a representative. Leah represents our process, and Rachel represents our destiny. I'm going to say it again. Leah represents our process. Rachel represents our destiny. Are you guys with me? So Leah was delicate, but Leah was not beautiful. Leah was actually so ugly that her father had to arrange an arranged marriage for her. Otherwise, she would not have gotten married. We'll get to that just now. But Rachel, say with me, was beautiful. Say it again. Say it was beautiful. Some of you need to say it to your wives. You can't even say it in church about the scripture. Say it was beautiful. And if you walk out of this place offended, then you must know that was a good church that I went to. If you want to know Jesus, Jesus offended everybody. Come on, guys, with me. So, say Rachel was beautiful. Your destiny is beautiful. That is the dream that God has given you. Whether it is to own a big business one day, whether it is to be a minister, evangelist, apostle, teacher, apostle, a prophet, to have millions, to have a beautiful family, to travel the world, to be a sports star, whatever destiny God has given you, it is beautiful. It is beautiful in its form and appearance, but Leah is ugly. Leah is disgusting. I mean, it's like when I was in the world and I was unsaved, and you go to like a group of girls, and you know, and there's like five beautiful girls, and there's just one girl that you and your friends know. You're like, who's gonna get that girl? You know, I'm just speaking. Hey, casting lots. You know, but Leah was not beautiful. So go for the next verse. Now Jacob loved Rachel. You love Rachel. You love your destiny. Are you guys with me? I love my destiny. I know what my destiny is. I know where my destiny is, but I'm not there yet. I love my destiny. Now Jacob, and so he said, I will serve you, Laban, 7 years for Rachel. He said, I love Rachel so much that I'm going to place a value upon this. I'm not even going to take her for free. Laban never asked him how much to serve. He just says, come and work for me. What must I give you? He says, listen, she's worth so much. I will serve you for 7 years, and my payment will be her. That's how much value he placed upon Rachel. It is time that we place value upon the destiny of God for our lives. And he said, your younger daughter. Next verse. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. Now, Laban is a type of God. Is that okay? It's God. He represents God. I want to show you how God will trick and deceive you. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed only, say with me, they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. It's like, you know, if you spend time with, if you're in love, it's like that 10 hours you spend together and you're like, it feels like 1 hour and it's already gone. Because you're in love. He was in love with Rachel. Those 7 years felt like nothing. When time doesn't pass us by quickly, you don't have a nice future to look upon. It is time that your Rachel being resurrected, and that your Rachel and your destiny in this place are being resurrected, and say that I have something beautiful to look upon again, to look afraid upon, to dream about, to have hope, and to say, even if I work for her for 10 years, it will seem like nothing. But one day, I'm going to step into my destiny. One day, I'm going to step into my Rachel. one day I'm gonna have what God has shown me, what God has called me to be. And they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. So Leah is our purpose, the ugly woman, the ugly one, the one you really don't want, the ugly sister, okay? And that's no indicative for anybody here that doesn't think they're beautiful. If you're that like that, we'll come and deliver you from low self-esteem on the last two weekends of a month. So because of her love he had for her, so he loved Rachel. Next verse. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her. Next verse. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Next verse. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. So now he brought him Leah. Guys, the scriptures are still not up there on that side. Eh? Lloyd? Huh? Yeah, but if I read the scriptures must be there for the guys. So if I read a scripture, that's common sense. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Now listen, he was asking for Rachel, and Laban deceived him and gave him Leah. You're getting on your knees and you're praying and you're saying, God, maybe there can be somebody staying, or you guys can show Liesl that if I don't read the scriptures, she can just press the button that takes it to the video. Oh, they're zooming into that. Okay. So you are praying on your knees and you say, God, I have this dream. I have this destiny. Everything is going to go well. I'm going to be successful. And then it feels like you end up packing burgers at McDonald's and you lose your friends and there's something else happening. You don't have a place to stay. But all you see when you dream is like this big business or this big ministry or this healthy family, or you're going to be in another country one day, or you're going to be a doctor or an athlete or something, but you sitting and packing hamburgers at McDonald's. What is happening? And you're thinking, or Leon comes and he prophesies and you will be this great man of God. You will be this minister, or you'll be this big businessman. You'll have millions. This is going to happen. God is going to deliver your wife, deliver your family. And then you walk away from there and the worst happens after that. And you're thinking, Leon is a false prophet. God has tricked me. No. God has deceived you in a good way. I'm going to show you now. Because he said, listen to me. I'm not going to go back there. But Laban says, do this and I will give Rachel to you. So when he was given Leah, he should have thought that, listen here, Laban did say, he will give Rachel to me. It might seem like God's word is not coming to pass. But when you step into that Leah and it's like disgusting, you don't want it, it's nothing you were hoping for, you woke up the next morning and all of a sudden you look at the face with no makeup on and it's like, I mean the lights was off the night before, that's why you didn't see it, and you wake up and you're like, what the heck, and the people can just hear the scream coming out of the tent, like, coming out of the tent because he's waking up with another woman. Some people sit very stiff. If we talk about sex and money, people go silent. You know, so deliverance. So he wakes up that morning and he realized, this is not, you tricked me, Laban. And many people feel like God has tricked them. But God still said, I will give you Rachel. Laban said, I will give you Rachel. He just didn't say when. So we have to go through that Leah. His daughter brought her to Jacob and he went into her. Okay, next verse. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. Go next. So it came to pass in the morning that behold, it was a great behold. It was Leah, not Rachel. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that you served me? Why then have you deceived me? Next verse. And Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Jacob, you should have known. Anyway, next verse. Fulfill the week and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. So now he has to work another 7 years. Okay, next verse. God is going to test you and to see, listen, now you haven't got the destiny that I said I would give to you. But God takes us in the deepest, darkest place to see how desperate are we. Are we willing to say, okay, I will work another 7 years? Or am I saying, no, I'm just going to give it up? Some people come into church for 1-2 weeks. They cry so much. They phone me or Chris or some of the guys every day because all hell is coming against them. And this one doesn't like them. And they just feel like backsliding and giving up on God. And because it's so hard. And I'm thinking, this man worked 7 years, he was deceived, and then he had to work. God will take you to the driving point and then say to you, listen, it's still not going to happen. It's going to take so long. Are you ready? Because why? He wants to see how desperate we are. And you'll see that Jacob didn't have to work the full 7 years for Rachel to come. Rachel was given to him after he made up his mind to say, I will work for her even if it's another 7 years. You must be so in love with your destiny. You must be so in love with your future that you say, God, I will pay any price to get to there. I will pay any price, even if I have to pay another 7 years, even if I have to work another 10 years, but as long as I can step into the purpose and the call that you have shown me. When I put my head to my pillow and I close my eyes, all I see is my future. All I see is my Rachel. She is beautiful to look upon. She is so beautiful that I cannot, time goes away quickly. I'll work another 7 years because I know it'll go by quickly, because as long as I keep my focus upon her. Are you guys with me? Then Jacob's son fulfilled the week. So he gave him his daughter. So then it says, so he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. So it was a test. He had to pass that test. Then he received his destiny. Go for the next verse. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel. So both of them got maids. Next verse. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. He loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. Go on. It was so much worth for him that he carried on serving. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now just stop there for me. Rachel only came once Jacob was fruitful with Leah. How many people are you guys getting me? Can some nod their heads, because some look at me at confusion. Real confusion. Hey, is jy gered? Are you guys with me? Leah, Jacob had to be fruitful with Leah before Rachel would come. He had to be fruitful. He had to fulfill that week with Leah before Rachel would come. He had to love Leah and learn to love Leah. So when I started off serving, I would clean the carpets in the church where I was. I would pack the church. I would wash the toilets. I would do all these things. Build a church that was around the corner here, and I would do all these things, but it was my Leah. I hated it. But until I began to love it and fall in love and was fruitful in it, my Rachel will not come. Are you guys with me? So he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Say with me, barren. Your Leah will bear fruits, your Rachel won't bear fruits. I'm going to say it again. Your Leah will bear fruits. Your Rachel will not bear fruits. So many people want to jump the process. They jump ship. We're preaching on this. They leave this church because they want to go plant another church, go start another ministry. I don't need Leon to tell me what to do, or blah, 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 blah. They do it with other churches, and they want to go straight into their Rachel, and they find out barrenness only. No fruitfulness. Go with me to the next verse. So Leah conceived and bore a son. So Leah fell pregnant, and she called his name, say with me, Reuben. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Now listen, the name Reuben means this. It means to see. It means to have spiritual perception. And it means to become a son. I want to share with you something, because we're going to see at the end how Rachel gave birth to one son. Okay? When God opened up her womb. But Jacob had to have fruits in his life before Joseph came from Rachel. Jacob had to have fruits in his life. The first son he bore with Leah, which was with the one that he didn't like, the process. You must fall in love with your process. While you're in your process, certain fruits will come out of your life. How many of you understand from last week's message when I speak about the law of process? If you can raise your hands. Meaning that tough times we go through, the testing times where God tests us, the times that we have to serve, the times we have to do many things. When we endure that and we are fruitful with the first son, which is called Reuben, it means to have spiritual sight. It means to some people will sit and say, why does Leon dress in jeans? Or why does Leon's hair like long? Or why does Leon talk like this? Or why is he so young? How can he teach me something? And they stand up and they walk out of the church. You know, I haven't started today. And didn't think it's a good idea just to come and start ministry. No. I had angelic encounters. I had supernatural encounters with God for many, many years, and we've had fruitful ministry. But they would not see with a spiritual perception, an eye with the spirit. They would see with eyes of the flesh. And as a result, they're blocking their blessing. So he's saying, listen, as you're beginning to serve in the law of process, you must give birth to one's first son, have spiritual perception. But that son also means this, to become a son. And I'll just leave it at that, okay? That's the first step. You must become a son. Sons receive an inheritance. Servants receive a payment. I'm going to say it again. Sons receive an inheritance. Servants and hirelings receive a payment. Okay? The second son that was born to him. For she said, the Lord has surely looked at my affliction. Now therefore my husband God. Then she conceived again, bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I'm loved, he has therefore given me this son also, and he shall be called Simeon. Say with me, Simeon, church. Simeon means to hear, and it means to hear intelligently. When you hear it, some people can hear, but not intelligently. So it means to hear intelligently to instructions, to be so obedient, to be so faithful, to be so attentive, and to be so adhered to be so involved and obedient with every call. So it's like these are the processes. The first process is to see with spiritual perception to become a son. The second process is to begin to open up our ears. And I always say to Stefan, your ear is too, but it's becoming better now after like 2-3 years. To hear. I'll say to him, go and buy a burger there, then he goes buys a hot dog like 10 kilometers the other way around. Because we hear, but we don't hear, okay? So it's selective listening. But the same thing with the voice of God. We begin to hear the voice of God, revelation comes. Out of that, so his name means hearing, but it also means to hear intelligently, to give attention, obedience, diligence, discerning, and to be causatively. Causatively. Those of you who know that word means to take caution in everything that you do. Then she got a third son. Go to the next verse. This is now all Leah. The process must birth the sons before Rachel, our destiny, becomes fruitful. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne with him 3 sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. Say with me, Levi. The word Levi means to be intertwined completely. It means to become one with, to be attached, to stick to, and to adhere to. So when you're faithful, you begin to adhere, to stick to God, to the leaders of the house, to the vision of the house and the church here, and you become involved, you become one with it. It's one of the tests that we must pass in our law of process. Next verse. Then it says, and she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Everybody say with me, Judah. Then she stopped bearing. The word Judah's yada. It means to praise, but it also means to worship with hands high extended. I see people worship now. When God says that we should worship him, it means hands high extended. Like this. I always say to people, lift up your hands, worship God. So that, and then once the law of process, Judah is born because before Rachel, we come close to Rachel, and we must begin to give God praise and worship in that current situation when it seems like nothing is happening. Amen. Go for it to the next verse, verse number 36. Oh, number 1. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. So go to the next verse. And Jacob's anger was aroused. Listen to me, your destiny will try to kill you. And Jacob's anger was roused against Rachel. And he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? Next verse. So she said, here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her and she will bear a child on my knees that I also may have children by her. Next verse. So we see that when he began to tap into his destiny, then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, and his wife, and Jacob went into her. Next verse. And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Next verse. Then Rachel said, God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore she called his name Dan. The first son from Rachel's side was called Dan, which means to judge. Are you guys with me? Just stay with judge. Now, this is how it works. So after you've gone through the process, you then go through a place of judgment where God judges us. It's a line of separation. I'll soon preach on it to see whether we have passed the process or not. Some of you are getting, some not. Verse number 7. And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, with a great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I indeed have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali. The word Naphtali means to wrestle with God and to have warfare, which means that once you step into your Rachel, there's going to be a time where we'll be judged, but then a time where there'll be such warfare that is going to come. We have to be ready for that warfare. If I have not gone through Leah with my children there and bore those fruits, as I said, spiritual perception, spiritual hearing, to cling to be a son and all those things that I spoke about, if we haven't gone through those test. We cannot endure the warfare that is coming once you step into your Rachel. Are you guys with me? I mean, just a few things that happened in this church the last few weeks of just people that want to kill me, I can tell you, I'll tell you within a year, because otherwise we're going to leave the whole church. So if I'm not ready for that, if I haven't gone through the process, then I'm not ready for that. Are you guys with me? But oh God, if my God has worked on my character and He has worked on my integrity and the anointing in my life, and somebody walks up with 8 people and pull out a gun and standing behind me, and no, the whole church is too scared to do something. Man pulls out a gun, the daughter gives him the gun, and what do you do? They're there, 8 people stationed all around the place to kill you right there. You, the only thing you can depend on is the presence of God. We had people running like this with knives to the pulpit, not here, and another church. And they would, and God would strike them still right in front here. I mean, like 5 or 6 of them. So, but I had to go through the process so that when the warfare comes, I can endure it. Are you guys with me? Don't check now what goes on. We're going to close now. Verse 10. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob. So Rachel couldn't bore him or son. So Jacob went back to Leah, and Leah's maid then built Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Next verse. Then Leah said, "A troop comes, so she shall call his name Gad." Can everybody say with me, Gad? So Gad is it means to attack, invade. That's when you begin to get authority and to invade. That means you've now endured with your Rachel. I know this is a little bit too much for some people, but just catch these names. Go through the next verse. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. This guy's just been getting children. Then Leah said, "I am happy for the daughters will call me blessed." So she said, "Call his name Asher." So once he's gone through all those things, attacks, warfare, the Bible says that he came to a place of being happy, peaceful. I've come to a place in my life where I said to my wife, all we can think about is the peace of God. We are just happy. Whether we'd have one cent in the account or R1 million, not R1 million, but I have 1 cent in the account or hundreds of thousands in the account, I am happy. When I put my head to the pillow, I am in the peace of God. I don't care if I wake up. I don't care who says what happens, who threatens to put us in the newspaper after we started this church. I am happy. The peace of God is there. Are you guys with me? But it takes a process. So he says, he goes on, he says, so she calls his name Asher. Next verse. Now Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field. Go for to the next verse. I don't want to read this. I want to get to the children again. Go for the next verse. Go for to the next verse. And God listened to Leah. Leah was barren. So God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a 5th son. Next verse. Leah said, "God has given me my wages." Listen, say wages. "Because I have given my maid to my husband." So she called his name Issachar. So with the Issachar church. These are the processes we go through life. So once we have gone through the whole process of seeing and hearing and judging and wrestling and becoming a son and worshiping and praising and being attached to and being close and what God wants us to do, then going through the place where God separates us and judges us in a good way to promote us, and then wrestling and warfare, then we go through attack and invading. God gives us authority to really invade other places, take business over, whatever, take ministry over. And then we come to a place of peace and happy. But once there's happy and peace is coming, there's a place that we create called a son, what we call Issachar. That means to arise, it means to receive a salary, it means payday, and it means to receive a paycheck and payment. It means that at that point God is about to exalt you and to cause you to arise. That payday is on its way. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. This is what the very name means. There's people sitting here listening, you're battling even to find a job. Some people are sitting here, they have millions and the money just goes through their pockets. This God has a secret. God has a protection for you. You need the blessing of God. The blessing of God makes a man rich, not working, and our families are falling apart. So, but it goes on. And then she got after the paycheck came and wages came, and it speaks of exaltation. Next verse. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a 6th son. Next verse. And Leah said, "God has endowed me with good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him a 6th son." So she called his name Zebulun. The word Zebulun means habitation. Say with me, habitation. It means that now where God has taken you, he's not going to cause you to go away from thee. He'll cause you to dwell in that place of payment, in that place of wages, in that place of peace, and happiness in that place of victory where you have authority. This is the process of scripture. Listen, now it goes on, and go for to the next verse. After which bore a daughter and called the name Dinah. I don't want to get into this one. Next verse. And God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her. Anyway, and listened to her and opened her womb. So God now listened to Rachel, and he opened Rachel's womb for the first time. Are you guys with me? For the first time, Jacob's destiny is bearing fruits. For the first time. But he had to go through all of that other process before his destiny will bear fruits. And people want to leave my ministry and go do their ministry. And I think, listen, it doesn't work like that. You must go through the whole process. Then when your destiny comes, it'll be so beautiful that she gave birth to Joseph. Go to the next verse. And she conceived and bore a son, and God has taken away my reproach. Go to the next verse. So she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Now stop there. Now the word Joseph means this. It means to keep on going, to keep on adding, to continue over and over, to exceed and to increase. Which means that whatever you've experiencing, Jacob, in your area of prosperity, the payment, the victory, the arise, the happiness, you're just going to carry on in that season continually over and over, and the blessing of God will be upon your life. But this is the process to the call of God. Are you guys with me? Leah is our process. Rachel is our call. I'm going to say it again. Leah is our process. Rachel is our call. Leah is the process we have to submit to right now. And we fulfill that process. If Jesus had to do 30 years, if Moses had to do 40 years, if Joseph had to do 17 years, and David had to do 23 years, how much more us that is in this place? I'm not saying we're going to have to do much more, but some people, my process was 14 years to be where I am today, where I went through hell, where I wanted to give up every day of my life, where I was crying through the nights, praying through the nights, fasting 21 days on water, fasting 40 days on water. But I had to go through a process to begin to be developed until a moment in time comes and God says, now, an angel comes, tells me, plants the church. Within 6 weeks, we've broken records that 95% of churches don't even break and they die. So what I'm saying is the hand of, why? Because of a process that I have fulfilled. And then I have some guy phoning me and saying, why is the people taking your jacket off when you try to take it off? I mean, they want to serve. I serve my spiritual father. If it looks like he takes his jacket off, I run up and I take it. They saw they're doing it. They're serving. Amen. So some people come out of some churches. I don't know. I say, listen, he said I'm into idolatry and all this stuff. If I'm in idolatry, they must come and bow down before me and stuff like that. So can everybody stand to their feet for me?